Then to get on with another story is the time that I come home off of 4 to 12, and I'm having a cup of coffee, and I come back out on the railing. My wife is in having a cup of coffee too, maybe a bowl of cereal. I wasn't, and she comes out and says, my favorite Western just went off the air. And I said, oh? And she says, yeah. It was black and white at that time. And she said, it's off the air. And I said, I look, and I said, well, by geez, it is. So I can't do anything about it. I come back out, and I'm sitting on the front of my house at 132 Ethelbert, and I'm looking north, and when I come to think of it, I'm looking sort of northwest, because the tower, after checking just recently with my friend Michelle, the tower is more northwest than it is perfectly straight north, and I see this extra red light on top of the tower, and that is a big, big light, a big red on and off light, not the little one that used to flash on the tower, but a big light. I get my binoculars out, and I say, well, my God, we've got a UFO hovering over. So I go in, and I'm leafing through the yellow pages, CKSO, da-da-da. I'm all excited, you know. You see something like this, I know why they're off the air, and I phone, and I get somebody on there, and I say, this is Don Campbell. I don't want them to think I'm some nut. And I'm living at 132 Ethelbert Street, and used people are off the air. And they said, well, don't tell us anything we don't know. This is the 15th or 20th call. We know we're off the air. We got our technicians running all over. We're going to get back in the air as soon as we find our problem. I said, well, don't run any further in your studio, because I said, your problem is right over your super tower. And they said, what? I said, you've got a UFO, an unidentified flying object, a flying saucer. This is the way I said it. And it's sitting right over your super tower, and that's why you're off the air. They said, you're kidding. I said, no, I'm on the next hill just down from you. I said, I'm on Ethelbert. I'm right out in the backyard. I got a perfect view from the front, from the back of my house. I'm looking at it. Can we have your phone number, sir? And I said, you sure can. We'll get right back to you. We've got to get some pictures of this. So, hang up. They hang up. I run out. It's still there. They're still off. And then I go up to my top of my backyard, and I look over my binoculars, and they're wheeling their big cameras out on their cement pad, and they're taking pictures of the same thing that I'm looking at. The only thing is, they've got a $55,000 camera, which has got good night vision, and they're getting some pretty excellent pictures of this thing blinking over, where all I've got is a little wind-o-matic UMIG camera with a slow daylight filming, you know, which isn't any good. Like if I had a VC, a camcorder like I have today, I would have been having beautiful pictures. So 5-10 minutes goes by, maybe 15, ding-a-ling-a-ling. My wife said, it's for you, asking for Don Campbell. I come back in. They said, thank you very, very much. We've got some fantastic pictures. We're going to show them tomorrow morning over the network in Sudbury. And which they did. They got on the air, apparently at 10 o'clock news, they got on the air, first of all, at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, and some of the viewers did get a picture of this, what they called a UFO, and the Royal Canadian Mounted Police got in touch with them very shortly, that same morning, said get that off the air, and they apologized for what they had shown on the air at that time. They said it was dewdrops on their lens, which was giving them a false impression of the red light on top of their tower and was reflecting, giving a much larger image of what they'd seen, and it wasn't a UFO overall, and they were, this is a story they had to give to the public. An apology after they'd shown the film and got everybody excited, they apologized. Meanwhile, their people said, you keep quiet about this, but one of their staff had told the CHNO on CKSO, told CHNO, we've already been warned by the Mounties, and it was the CHNO that took it from there. They're the ones that phoned me from their radio station, okay, and said, Don Campbell, we heard what happened last night from the other people, but they didn't. I didn't know it was the other people. It was MCTV. And they said, we'd like to interview you. Do you mind if we turn on a tape recorder? And I said, by all means. So I heard beep, and they said, you're on. And 30 seconds, they have to, when they're taping you on the air, they have to let you know they're taping you, and also that there's a beep, a signal tone every 30 seconds. So they go ahead. So I told them the exact story, what had happened, blah, blah, blah. And then right at the end of the conversation, I think I swore a couple of times, which they had to blip out when they put it on the radio, they said, and by the way, we're not CKSO, we're CHNO. They didn't put this over the air on their broadcast, and they said, if you listen to the 10:30 news, I think it was the 10:30 news, you'll hear yourself. So I was all excited. I turned on my big Sony tape recorder, reel to reel, plugged in record, and as soon as it came on, I dominated of a 15-minute newscast I was on for 8 or 9 minutes of that newscast. And now here's Don Campbell, in his own words, what happened last night. Here is one station denying that the pictures they took and showed on the air was not a UFO. Here they are picking up my story saying, I was watching the UFO with my binoculars. I'm the one that reported it. I watched it. I watched it right till it flew away. And when it flew away, CKSO had no more problem with their transmitting of their pictures. Everything came back to life at 2 o'clock in the morning. Sorry for the interruption. We had a power interruption, blah, blah, blah. Here's the rest of the Western that you're watching. Back on comes the movie. They stopped the movie and then started to rebroadcast it right from where they left off. To make a long story short, I got a call from the Mounties after about that. I was told to keep off the air. I was also told to keep my mouth shut, that they have ways and means of keeping people like me. In other words, they could blackball you, maybe do something to you at work, you know, tell the company, make trouble for this guy. God only knows what they mean. I don't think they mean kill me. But they said, you shouldn't go on the air with stories like that. You haven't got our permission. It's all right to talk to fellow workers about it. You're not to go public on the air. And we'll be watching you from now on. And I said, who are you? And they identified themselves. And they said, we're the RCMP. We're in the downtown offices. We monitor all television and radio broadcasts. Somebody sits in a room. And everything that's on the air in the local district, they've got it. It's on tape. And it didn't take them long to catch up with me. Never did shut me up. They never did. I still kept talking to my buddies. I was on the air once more after that. And I kept broadcasting to all my friends, you want to see UFOs? Just come up with me in the new Sudbury or here or there. And of course the Sudbury Star, you've got some copies yourself, Michelle, of the happenings in Sudbury and around. You know, that the Sudbury Star was not afraid to put it on front page news. Five UFOs did a bird dance at the end of Burton Avenue where the dump, they came over the dump at 2 o'clock in the morning. The provincial police, the city police, and 15, 20 cars were up there on a beautiful summer evening watching five UFOs on a summer evening doing some of the most magical things that airplanes can't do. And people were radioing back and forth and watching this. Provincial police, city police tuned into each other's frequency and saying, wow, come and see this. And cruisers are coming from the highway. And the Sudbury Star put that right on the front page of the paper the next day. You know, five UFOs and jets scramble in Flint, Michigan. The Americans, not Canadians, Americans. And they fly over to Sudbury, New Sudbury, and as they're heading over, they're about 20 miles out, the UFOs all pack up. And they're all gone. And the jets make a couple of circles. They don't go 20,000 miles an hour, but the UFOs do. UFOs left, they head back to Flint, Michigan, and they land. Headlines next day. Five or six jets scramble from Flint, Michigan because there's five UFOs doing a circular dance and aerobatics over the dump. That was a dump site over Burton Avenue. That end. It's no longer. It's all filled in with homes. And the provincial police report it. The city police report it. The Sudbury Star put it on their front page. There was no denying now, with so many 15, 20 cars, witnesses to this incident that night, it made the headlines the next day. And I thought, well, the RCMP are going to say, don't you dare put that in the paper. Don't ask me why. They allowed it. It made the headlines. Five jet scramble. Then the next day, a little write-up in the corner on the front page saying they had made a mistake. All this hullabaloo and everything, it was some kind of peace shields that were falling from a satellite and were causing all sparkles in the sky. And again, the old cover-up. The jets had scrambled for nothing, that there really wasn't UFOs, it was pieces and debris that were falling and tumbling from the night sky, flashing in the sky in different areas, which had caused all this phenomenon that everybody was excited about, and the jets didn't have to scramble at all, it was from an earlier orbiting satellite, was the excuse that was given a day or two later in the paper. Of course, again, the RCMP and Ottawa Research Center saying, you have to get this story and calm it down. Too many phone calls, too many people all excited about UFOs over Sudbury, and they just debunked the story as really there was nothing to it. And yet this exhibition lasted over an hour and a half that evening, long enough for the jets to get radar warnings, scramble from Flint, Michigan, fly over at 600 miles an hour and get here, and the show was still going on, enough for five provincial police cars and seven city cruisers and 14 constables to all be watching it and saying, wow, is that ever fantastic, as they would loop and turn this way and that way with their flashing red lights, you know. And I wasn't one of the lucky ones. Where was I that night? I was sound asleep in bed. That was one of the nights that I didn't know all this was going on, this particular dump night. I wasn't the lucky guy to be up on that hill. But when I went bowling that week, which was on a Wednesday, Sergeant Colton and Sergeant Lightfoot, that's all they could talk about in between the lines of bowling, especially Lightfoot. He wasn't there that night either. He was a steady day sergeant, but his men brought in reports that were pages long, you know, of write-ups, official file, and about a week later they were all stamped top secret, top secret, top secret into the dead files. You know, this was not to be mixed in with their day-to-day reportings. Because RCMP, I guess, went down and said, you police that are involved in eyesight, this is not to be in your standard files. So they pulled them out, and those reports were just tucked away. Handwritten, signed by each man in the cruiser and their co-officer, two to a cruiser, that all seen it, witnessed it, wrote up the reports as what each one thought they saw. You know, these two wrote up a report, and these two wrote up a report, and everybody that was there wrote up the reports. But when all the reports were in, they went into the dead letter file, and God only knows if somebody from Ottawa didn't come later on, I'm only speculating, pull them out of the file and just said, it never happened. You know, it never happened, because what you were watching was debris mixing out of the sky, flashing. So God only knows. That's another one of the interesting stories that happened over Sudbury. And I mean, anybody can look in the 67 Sudbury Star in the summer, and that was front page news. Jets, you know, fly from Flint, Michigan to see UFOs over the city street, and that was a very interesting happening. Not made up on my part, actually reported right in the paper from police and constables and 15 car witnesses, people that were out late that night, you know, traveling the Froude Road as a shortcut. The new Sudbury stopped their cars, got out, and all these cop cars there and watched it with their own eyes. They were all excited, and I guess they were all contacted. Keep your mouth shut, too. God only knows. That's another one. That's a good